All right, here we go. Overdrive off and running. TSN 1050 on the TSN app. Your home smart speaker up on TSN. Brian Hazio, Doug, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. How are we feeling on a Friday?
Were you out addressing the nation today of some sorts? I don't know. Somebody sent me a pic and said, your boy Hazy B is doing addressing the nation type things.
What were you doing?
Well, I was at an event, actually. I'm glad you guys brought that up because I was. It was Hockey Helps
What
the
are
homeless.
You, like, on LinkedIn as a guest speaker?
I was out there kind of emceeing and, you know, speaking with people. I had a little hot stove. Our boy Shane Corson was up there. It was good to
oh,
see
nice.
Corson.
Yeah.
Jana Hefford, one of the great Olympians of all time. Luke yeah. Gazdick was out there. I was watching Luke. I was doing some, like, you know, breakdown of their careers last night. Like, he fought Lucic his rookie year when he was in Edmonton. One of the yeah. great fights you're going to see. Two monsters.
He's a big man.
He's a big dude. So, yeah, I was just moving and shaking. You know how it is. I mean, just like you in your Guelph days, I try to give back as much as I can.
Wow. That Guelph thing, that's still mystifying me. But I do remember what happened. When I was about to go there, I got drafted. Somebody called me and said, if you would ever, like, want to do some charitable work, what do you think it would be?
I see. Okay.
So I just floated out the Big Brothers of Guelph. Never actually stepped foot near there or helped out in any way, but I tossed it out there as a possibility.
I missed that whole – remember I was absent for a couple days? I think I was out on the West Coast. You guys had the Big Brother thing?
Well, this goon brings up my hockey card, and he's like, something's weird on the back of it. It says, what did it say, Hayes? Like, Jeff often helps out at Big Brothers Canada or something.
Yeah, something like, and really kind of sold it, like you're a constant contributor. I actually have the card upstairs.
I would love to see it because, I'll be honest, in junior, I was a Big Brother as well.
There you go.
But I was like a big brother to a guy named Tom. And years later, like, Tommy. He reached out to me. And, like, somebody was, like, a friend of a friend was like, do you remember Tom? And the problem is I felt so bad. Like, I saw him, like, a few times. I couldn't see him as much as I could. Obviously, you're so busy at
junior.
Of course. And you're just a kid
yourself.
It's tough
to do. Yeah, you're a young guy, and that's it. But I didn't know that the pictures were circulating. But, yeah, it was great to get out there. The CAA Center, which is where the battalion used to play. Saw Rafi out there. Rafi Torres was out there. He was a big part of it today. He was a beast, man. I remember getting caught on the ice with him. You talk about a heart attack. I was on the ice, and Rafi Torres was on the ice. Do you think there was a mismatch? Do you think the coach was on his toes when somehow I was on
the
ice?
Well, what were you afraid of more, him scoring or him running you over?
Oh, destroying me. Dude, both. Rafi is, like, I can't even tell you how big he was in junior. Like, he's a massive dude still. Noodles, you saw him out in Edmonton a few months ago.
Yeah, I saw him, like, yeah, I think in the playoffs last year I ran into him. Like, he is such, I mean, he was always in great shape, but he's such a, like, a thick man. Like, just large. Everything
he's
about
a big
him
boy,
is just a
Rafi.
Big dude,
he's
right?
A big, like, boy. And he was that, when he was 19, he was probably 225 muscle. Like, he was destroying people.
And he could fly, too,
hits.
Right? Like, he
that
could
was
skate.
It. Could skate and destroy people. And anyway, he was out there, so yeah, that was cool. And I guess I was addressing the nation to an extent. And I'm excited for tonight for a couple of different reasons. Dwayne Casey's in town, right? We got Dwayne Casey and the Pistons. Mandatory win night for the Raptors. Not must win, mandatory.
Dude, they don't
mandatory.
Even have those. They don't even have those, so they don't have a mandatory win night. Just
in
like
general?
Orlando when they wheel down there. They like to lose that one, and they suck.
Right. Orlando
is garbage.
As bad as Orlando is, Detroit is 10 times worse. Like, Detroit is the clear-cut worst team in the league.
Maybe Joe Biden likes the Pistons.
Possibly. Well, and I want to get to that in a moment, but I want to give a shout-out to someone because I posted a picture. We had Jack Armstrong in studio yesterday, and it was great to see Jack, and I took a pic with Jack. And I posted it on Instagram, and there was a comment made saying, there's the face and voice of basketball in Canada and Jack Armstrong. And I was like, that's a great comment.
That
You're
is
right.
awesome.
With Dwayne Casey
point,
in town,
Brian.
With Dwayne Casey in town, you got to salute it.
For sure.
But, yeah, speaking of being in town or being in the country, Joe Biden is in Ottawa, and he was addressing the House of Commons this afternoon or this morning, and the Leafs are taking shrapnel from Biden. The Leafs are taking shots from Joe Biden.
I got to just tell you this for people that are silly enough to not know this. Somebody gets in his ear in a situation like this, and it's like you're in Ottawa, and you got to say something to favor the Ottawa peeps, and it's like Ottawa fans hate the Leafs. So just drop this little thing and say you hate the Leafs, and it's going to cause us. That's what happens. He doesn't even know who the Leafs are.
Well, the other thing, too, is if you actually listen to the whole clip, he jokes. He's like, the reason why is they beat my Flyers and my wife's from there. And he goes, I need to say that or I'm sleeping alone. Like, he
right.
joked about it. Like, the
we
whole thing
clips.
Is tongue-in-cheek. Yeah, but early on before, I mean, people are sending me the clip going, oh, my God, like, Biden took a shot. He's joking
oh
the whole way through.
God.
And I'm wondering, okay, is everyone getting this context? Or is, like, people just clipping the part where he takes a shot at the Leafs and, like, that's it, it's all over? Like, if you listen to the whole clip, it was funny.
Yeah, well, we have the clip. We'll play them. For starters, he didn't really take a shot at the – he doesn't
no,
say the Leafs choke all the time.
No, he said, I'm mad at them.
He didn't drop a 67 joke, you know, at the House of Commons. Here's the clip, all right? So Joe Biden, he's up here. He got here last night. He addressed Parliament today, and we have the two clips. We'll stop it after the Leaf comment, and then we'll play the breakdown of what he means by this.
Right.
Here's what Joe Biden had to say earlier today.
Our labor unions cross borders. So do our sports leagues. Baseball, basketball, hockey. Listen to this, hockey. I have to say, I like your teams except the Leafs. I'll tell you why.
All right, so we will get to the why in a moment, but a couple of things to point out. Like you said, for starters, there's a speechwriter that writes all this stuff.
Thank you very much.
It's a speechwriter, but it is a brilliant idea to drop that. Now, I think the speechwriter jams themselves up by qualifying it with what we're going to get to about Philly and his wife. If he drops the mic there, that place goes nuts. That's the moment, because it has to be the Leafs. If he says, I don't like the Jets, people are like, what? Who? What are you talking about? The Jets. It has to be the Leafs. I don't think the Habs get the same reaction.
The Canucks. It's like a comic doing a stand-up
set. It's a perfect comic.
And a set in a city, and he just makes it like a comment about a non-rival. They'd be like, what?
But
it's if you're in Cleveland doing stand-up, you make a joke about the Steelers, not something else. You know what I mean?
Of course. But the room is filled with people from around the country. It's members of Parliament. There's only so many people that actually are living in Ottawa. What I want to know is who from Toronto is in there? You know, how many Maple Leafs fans are standing up and clapping? And if so, you know people are going to review the tape. Joe from the Bridge, it's like the Zapruder film. Who was there? Someone from Vaughan. He stood up, and that was a clap. There's someone from Peel region that shouldn't have been doing that, because that's what's coming.
Oh, for sure. There will be. Yeah,
but it's actually a great line. It's a great line.
Yeah, there'll be some local guy that you're right. Like, I grew up a Habs fan. Is like, yeah. And you're right. It is the perfect joke because the Leafs are polarizing in this country. Love them or hate them, you watch them. Like, that's basically what it is. Yeah. So it is, for a speechwriter or whatever, that is the perfect tagline, the perfect joke. And
maybe
then
it's setting something up, Noodles. Maybe when they visit the White House next year, maybe when they visit, they have the handshake with Big Joe.
I don't think they do that, though. It's been so long. Like, in 93, did the Habs go down to the White House? I don't think so.
You're right. I'm sorry.
I don't think they go to the White House.
That's a dumb comment.
To Parliament is what they'll do, right? They'll be right there in Parliament. All those politicians in there clapping like seals about goofing on the Leafs. We'll see where they're at if that ends up happening. But let's play the continuation.
Yeah, the context.
Here, right? Here's the context of why Biden said, you know, he likes all the teams except the Leafs.
I'll tell you why. They beat the Flyers back in January. That's why. And if I didn't see that, I married a Philly girl. If I didn't say that, I'd be sleeping alone, fellas. I like you, but not that much.
What's with that chuckle at the end? The little Ace Ventura chuckle.
How old is that guy?
He's 1,000.
He's old.
He's 1,000.
Jesus.
Like, even, he's like, older. At some point, yeah. Like, even the other guy We bagged on him. The guy's like 75 or 70. Like, how old is Trump? He's like 75.
Mid 70s, yeah.
And same thing with Biden. Like,
Biden's touching on 80, I think. Yeah, he's touching 80 soon. But it's a speechwriter, right? It's
exactly.
Biden doesn't. You think he knew that the Leafs were playing? He probably didn't even know that the joke was going to land, but it landed. Right? Well, you take a shot at the Leafs, and people are going to react.
The laugh is great. There's, you talk about memes, man. That guy's had a few, like him riding the bike.
Oh, the bike. Him falling off the bike is outrageous.
Him falling up the stairs going on the airplane.
The bike is someone referenced that comment. I was biking in Florida, and I got wobbly, and some guy walks by and goes, almost pulled a Biden there. Just kept walking. I'm like, thank you. Like, you're right. I almost did, man.
Oh, that's awesome.
Pulling a Biden, just blowing a wheel on the bike. But anyway, he's up here, and I wonder if him and the Trudeaus were watching that Leaf game last night, because if they did, that was the lock of the century for me. They were showing up last night. They were going to play and play well. And it started with one guy. For me, it was Matthews. Like, he looks like he's chugging again, scoring goals, retrieving pucks. He's moving through the neutral zone with a presence. Yeah, he looks like he was pissed off a little bit last night. Like, listen, he has not had a great season. He won the Hart last year. Based on the bar he set last year, this 34 goals is not going to cut it for him. But if you get hot at the right time, and if he's chugging, which he appears to be chugging, that is a great sign for the Leafs.
Yeah, and I think, Hayes, you talked about it yesterday, the matchup, and you liked how they were getting plus money, and you wanted the response. All the things that you were looking for last night, and I feel bad for Al's brother because he had a little tweet last night saying, Bunting, meet Kerfoot, because welcome to misery. Whatever the hell he was talking about, those guys got on the board. Johnny Tavares showed some signs of life in front of the net. He was kind of doing his thing. And it was just a great road win. Matt Murray was pretty solid in net. It's all positive. That's a great road win and a great response.
Well, the guys that needed it got it. That's the way I looked at it. Like, not Matthews. Like, Matthews is on an island for me. I don't worry about him. I just worry about health. Outside of that, I know he knows how to play hockey. But, like, the guys who were kind of, you know, you could see the squeeze in the sticks, the confidence a little bit. Like, you just talked about it. Kerfoot hadn't scored in, what, 24?
Yeah.
Like, that guy, you know.
Long
time. They're hiding him in the lineup. He's up and down. He's all over. Like, you need confidence. You know, Hayes, you took a kind of a tongue-in-cheek shot the other day in the, what was it, the shootout. Was like,
yeah, biggest goal of the year. It was a shootout in the ninth round.
So he doesn't get credit for it. But, you know, I thought him scoring, Bunting scoring, you know, Murray. I thought Murray played really well, personally, like, because I thought he made good saves at the right time, where the game was close. Like, the game was, you know, it's tied or it's a one-goal game, and Florida gets a look, and all of a sudden he makes a save. I don't know. There's got to be a stat of how many disallowed goals he's had. Like, he might be right up there. Like, it's almost like once a game there's, like, a net violation or a weird, like, I don't know if he just attracts that. I do think there was goalie interference. I thought it was really kind of slight, but there was. It was a goalie interference. But it's just, I thought he played well. I
agree with
game.
You. He is a conundrum to me, Matt Murray, because I don't think he has confidence in his own body, in his own health. And, like, before puck drop, there's something about him that has been very shaky for years in terms of how predictable he is, how reliable he is. Yet, when he's dressed in the puck drops, this guy exudes confidence.
Dude, when, like, he has those flurries, Hayes, where he looks big and he's challenging, and I don't know, he just looks like a dominant goaltender, and you're like, can this guy ever bottle that up and have some consistency? Because if he does, it's like, watch out. But then there's always a setback. It's either a blowout or an injury, or I don't know. He can't maintain any type of consistency to what he's doing out there, and it must frustrate everybody involved, including us watching.
Well, structurally, one of the things I notice when he struggles is his balance is off. Like, he falls forward. Like,
yeah, Mike Smith, slippery.
Mike Smith always, you know, I used to joke, I'd send Strutty a picture of Smitty, like, face down, doing the breaststroke, and, you know, instead of pushing side to side, Smitty would push and spread his legs out. Murray's got a little bit of that, where he ends up, like, face down and back. Last night, he faced on the Tkachuk play, he was facing the wrong way in the net. Mm-hmm. He got hit in the back. He got hit in the ass in the play. And I think I was sitting with Laura Dyke, and I'm like, he deserves that save even though it crossed the line because he caught the puck. Like, I'm like, there should be almost a benefit of the doubt save where it's like, I know it crossed, but, like, that was too
good
of a save.
There's a buffer, for how great it was.
Exactly. Like, you make a save like that and it happens to be, you know, an inch over. Like, you're almost going, just give him the benefit of the doubt because it was such a ridiculous save.
It was a great save.
But it was desperation.
It did go in, but it was pure desperation. He put himself in that spot. But he does exude confidence. And I think that is what their plan always was just close your eyes and hope this guy gets in the net, the puck drops on a playoff game. Because if he's into it and playing, I think they feel confident, and I think they should. It's everything building up to it that you simply cannot feel confident about. But last night, Murray played really well. And again, Matthews, you know, I don't think it comes up enough because he gets paired in with the other guys. You know, it's the big four up front. It's Marner and Nylander and Tavares. And any given night, you know, each of them will take the lead. And this year it's been more Marner than anyone else. He's had a phenomenal season. But generally speaking in sports, whoever the big dog is, like whoever the best player, the guy who can be most dominant when he's playing at his best, that's where the focus goes, right? Like, everything trickles down beyond that. And that's him. Like, that's Matthews. Marner has played himself up, I believe. He's closer than ever. And a lot of times this year, he's been better. No question. He's been absolutely exceptional. But if you're saying one game where they both give the best possible outcome they can, I still think Matthews is the king of the county here. And when he plays like that last night, get him to the finish line if he's ready to go in the playoffs. You look at the East, there is no reason he isn't the best player in every possible series. You get to a cup final and McDavid's there, fine. McKinnon's there, Cale Makar, I can have that conversation. I'm sorry, there's no one else in the East, if he's playing at his best, that's better.
Dude, I've been trying to say that as kind of their trump card when you're talking about facing a Tampa Bay or facing the Boston Bruins. I'm like, this guy's one of the top players in the world, if not the second best. And if he's dialed in, much like a Nathan MacKinnon was last year, and much like Connor McDavid was, where nobody has an answer for it, he can be that kind of talent.
Yeah.
So you can talk about how good the Bruins are, and obviously it's going to be awfully difficult to take them out. They are going to be the most difficult out if they continue to play like they're playing. But when you've got a guy that can be that dominant, it's a handful for any team. Any team, including the Boston Bruins. So it's up to him to kind of get to that level. And you saw McDavid do it last year where I think he got a taste of the playoffs and what it was about and what it was like to elevate and perform at even a higher level than he did in the regular season. And if Matthews can do that, he's a handful himself, and also the Toronto Maple Leafs will be too.
Yeah, I mean, there's guys that every team, though. Like, I don't sleep on Pastrnak or Bergeron.
No one's saying sleeping. No one's saying sleeping. But they're not better, Noodles. They're not better.
But they're not a step down either.
Yes, they are. That's the definition of better. He's better than them. Like, there's no way you think Pastrnak, when they're playing at their best, is better than Austin Matthews.
I would say Braden Point, at the top of his game at critical times, would be right there, would he not?
Okay, at critical time, we're talking cup finals.
I'm not going to go through every player in the Eastern Conference. I'm just saying when this guy's dominant, he's one of the top players in the game.
I'm saying what I'm saying is, like, you're going to face guys on every team like that. He has to be the guy. Well, what happened here?
I have no
idea. Didn't like
Austin Matthews didn't like your comments.
That's
or Joe from the bridge.
Exactly.
It probably is Joe from the bridge.
I swear to God, because my camera's on, it's Joe standing on the
court.
Joe
from the bridge is saying, I refuse to accept that. And yeah, I'm not challenging the greatness of other players.
It's the same for every player.
Right. Of course
when
it
their
is,
team's having success, they have their guys that are awfully difficult to stop. And for Toronto, their guys, Austin Matthews
Agreed.
And Mitch Marner.
And he's
Agreed.
The best of the bunch, in my opinion, in the East. If he's playing, he hasn't been that way all year. Like, this guy, he's not even, I don't think he's in the top 10 for heart contention. That's league-wide. But, you know, the respect I would grant to McDavid when he's playing at his best and to Makar Vasilevskiy when he's playing at his best. Yeah, is what I would apply to Matthews when he's
Agreed.
Playing at his best.
He was awesome last night, and he deserves that type of like love. And but I just my whole thing is like that's my point. In the playoffs, every top player is gonna, you expect them to be at their top. And that's what we need to expect out of 34, out of 16, you know, 91, 88. And then guys like Ryan O'Reilly, like, what are they going to give us? Mm-hmm. I still don't know what's going on. I literally can see you guys.
It's whatever, it doesn't matter. We'll just keep going. They can figure it out. But, like, Morgan Riley not playing last night is interesting, too. That doesn't help, right, the whole conversation of the team and how everyone's going. And, like, right. He's not playing, and they play pretty well. They get a big road win. But I think if you're Riley, you know, what it might mean is, you know, he hasn't separated himself enough. And that's a challenge for him. You know, get in the lineup, get healthy, and you've got to be an effective player come playoff time. Well, because he is playing. Like Morgan Riley is playing,
sure.
And he's playing big minutes. So, yeah, it was a good Leaf win last night. And they're back in action in Carolina tomorrow. Donwell Waddell will join us, the GM of the Carolina Hurricanes, in about 10 minutes.
Quick question, guys. You just brought it up, and I think it's important. Where do you think Morgan Riley's going to be? Because I had a conversation with some guys today about, you know, yeah, they win without Riley. Well, okay, but the team's better with him in the lineup. We're
100%
absolutely correct.
But like, he's got to play up to a certain level. But you're of course. I mean, he's playing. Like there's no conversation of whether or not he's in the lineup or not. But it is. I think it's factual. They had their best month of the season in terms of just dialing back any issues when he was out of the lineup. Like, you can't argue against that. I think it's a coincidence probably more than anything else, or everyone just lifted up their bootstraps and went to work. But as for who he plays with, you know, he's going to be your PP1. He's going to play 20 minutes a night. He's in your top four. I think it's on him, though, to determine that. Like, how's he playing? And if he's rocking and he's up in the play and he's skating and impactful, you give him more minutes.
Well, that's why I would love to know why he got a load management or whatever they sold it like it, because to me, he hasn't played enough this season to be like he should just keep him rolling and keep him going. And new players in the lineup, you're talking about that. Like, I'd like to see him continue to develop chemistry with whoever he's going to play with. If you're going to, you know, if McCabe all of a sudden gets a shift up there or whatever, like I come back to it. I'd still like to see some stability in that lineup. Down these last, what do they got left? Is it 10?
Yeah, you're looking at 11 games left.
So
yeah,
10.
Got a two-pack this weekend. They're going to get through and then reset. They play next Wednesday, and that'll be, I think from then on, it's kind of time to really figure that out.
Right.
And we haven't heard much on Ryan O'Reilly, like in terms of what his timeline will be to actually, you know, start passing, shooting, really getting close, non-contact.
Isn't that a good thing, though, Hayes, when you don't kind of hear anything?
Like,
sometimes it would be like any news would be kind of not good news. So the less you hear, I think it's probably better.
Like if they had to go in and clean something up or whatever, you'd probably hear it by now. Probably a good sign. There were nerves at the end of the game with Matthews, you know, taking a
well, I threw that text to you guys. Like I thought I didn't see the pill part along the wall. I just saw the interaction.
I thought it was his wrist.
Well, there was a cross check in front where he pushed off. And then he took his glove off and was skating to the bench. So I was like, oh, my God, like, it looked like he jammed something. I'm like, oh, I put in our text. I'm like, did he jam? Like, and then you wrote pills or something. And I was like, okay, now it makes sense.
Yeah,
like,
he got bagged, which is hilarious. Not funny, but the reaction where everyone, including Sheldon Keefe, is like, please tell me he got it in the pills instead of broken his wrist. Please.
Right.
So he's got to go through the agonizing pain. Everyone's done it. Everyone's had it. Noodles, you worse than anyone else.
A million times,
goalies.
Yes.
And meanwhile, that is the nature of hockey in late March when you have the playoffs around the corner. You're like, please don't break your hand, finger, wrist. Take a couple right off the junk, and then everyone can move on with their day. That's great. Like, you're celebrating it. Meanwhile, he's hunched over like, I'm dying here. Dying.
Yeah.
But it's all good. Yeah, Matthews, he's okay.
I didn't see if he was asked about it afterwards or not.
Like, I think he did joke like he was sitting down in his scrum. He's like, sorry, guys, I'm not standing up for this scrum. I'm still recovering.
Okay.
So he's fine. He'll be in Carolina tomorrow, in Nashville on Sunday. And Don Waddell, the GM of the Canes, is coming up. His take on where Carolina's at, they're obviously in a really good spot sitting atop the Metro. They've already punched a ticket. They've clinched. and you know, who they could play, how it sets up. Svechnikov done for the year. Rod Brind'Amour, all that good stuff with Don Waddell. Mike Johnson still to come. Dear Hazy B is making a triumphant return at 6:30. So we'll be helping the masses, helping people out like we like to do. Dear Hazy B at 6:30. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.
Mail It In Friday is brought to you by Boston Pizza, Canada's favorite sports bar. The push to the playoffs is here, and BP's elite lineup of pizza, wings, and ice-cold beer is always dialed in for game time. Hustle into your local BP tonight and try our new four-cheese ravioli bites, a game-changing appy that's here for a limited time only.
All right, Don Waddell will join us here in just a moment. We have a pair of tickets to give away. Leafs Blue Jackets, April 4th. Every day this week, we've been providing clues to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. Today, you have a chance to call in and name that Leaf. Your final clue. This former Maple Leaf was traded to Toronto for Carl Gunnarsson and a draft pick that ended up being Ville Husso. 416-870-1050. 416-870-1050. First one in to answer that, you're going to see Leafs Blue Jackets.
I know who it is.
Go ahead.
It's Roman Polak.
Roman Polak, I don't remember him being here twice.
I was just going to say, when was he here twice?
I think.
Was it like a PTO thing?
Came back for like a sniff.
Was like, it a one-day contract for Roman?
I think that's a bad, like, that's bad information.
I don't remember that.
I don't remember him twice.
Arad can't even get the facts straight for the Leaf giveaway.
Arad would not mess that up. No, Arad is right. He did come back. He was here originally, and how did
when?
I forget?
When? Like, lay it out.
Okay, so he was here for an extended period of time. It was almost like what we forgot was that he got flipped and then quickly re-signed. So this is what happened. Polak was here in 14-15, 15-16, got flipped to San Jose at the deadline. Remember when they went to the Cup Final? Polak was on that team, and then he re-signed with the Leafs in the offseason.
So it's like he basically missed 2 months.
He left for a few months, and then
he
came back for 2 years.
I would have bet money that never happened. Right. I would have bet money that
never happened. I totally forgot about that. Like, totally forgot. I remember the big window of him being a Leaf, but
yeah,
I forgot that they flipped him, and he played 24 games in the playoffs. 0-0-0-15. No goals, no assists, no points. 15 penalty minutes, cup
final.
Probably
some heavy hits, though, I'll tell you that. That guy was pretty mean on the back end.
Oh, yeah. I think there's a reason they brought him back pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But we've got a guy on the line who's been a GM in the league for a long time, and I'm sure he's had a number of guys he's traded, then re-signed, and then maybe flipped again. How often can he recall details of different deals in the past? Here is the GM of the Carolina Hurricanes. The Leafs are in Carolina tomorrow. Here's Don Waddell. How you doing, Don?
I'm excellent, gentlemen. How are we today?
We're doing well. We were just talking about Roman Polak, who was a Leaf and then got flipped and then re-signed. You know, you've been involved in so many player interactions throughout your career. Can you remember all the details, or how many players are you like, man, I forgot that guy was on my team at one point?
It's kind of funny because you travel around cities and have people reach out to me and I have to go to NHL.com and find out, did they actually play for me? And I forgot about them. So I had a lot of guys in Atlanta there where they played one, two games and moved on for various reasons. So, yes, I remember most of them, but not all of them for sure.
Don, how would you characterize your deadline? I mean, I don't think you could characterize it as going all in, per se, as Colorado did last year. Is that simply because there's a belief in your team as is and in what you have now?
Yeah, you know, Rod and I talk a lot about it. We were talking for 2 months what the needs of our team were. And, you know, Rod's very loyal coach, which I can appreciate. And, you know, the guys have done a great job to get us to this point. And, you know, we wanted to address our power play, and we did with Gossenberg. And, you know, other than that, you know, we went a little bit big game hunting a little bit, but it didn't work out. And, you know, if you know Rod, I know Jeff, you do. I mean, he's a pretty loyal guy, and I can really appreciate that and him wanting to stick with the guy. So, you know, we fished around a little bit and decided that this is the team we're going to move forward with.
Well, it's obviously been working for you. You guys have punched your ticket to the playoffs. You're sitting ahead of the Metro Division. Rod Brind'Amour was obviously a guy we were detailing, you know, his negotiation. Was he going to stay in Carolina, move on? You mentioned loyalty. He was very loyal to Carolina. He wanted to stay there. You see it on a daily basis. What has made him, you know, such a successful coach? What makes Rod Brindamore so great?
Well, I don't think he'll ever ask a player to do something that he wouldn't do himself. And, you know, I know that's a thing that we hear over and over, but, you know, Rod did it as a player, you know, was captain of the Stanley Cup team. And, you know, he worked every day on and off the ice to make himself the best pro he could possibly be. And, you know, I think the players appreciate that. And, you know, they watch him today as he still works out like a maniac. So I think the guys really enjoy playing for him and going to battle for him.
Don, just a quick follow-up on that. I actually heard a story when he first kind of took over that some of the players were intimidated to go into the gym when he was working out because he was in basically better shape than all the guys who were still playing.
Well, there's a lot to be said about, you know, everybody says, who's your best athlete in condition and training camp? And I say, well, are we counting staff or players? Because... like at a game day, I can tell you, I work out not nearly like Rod does. We work out in the morning, and then we have our morning skate and practice, and then he's back in the gym for another 3 hours preparing before he prepares for the game. So he takes it pretty serious, and I think he's going to be that way the rest of his life.
Don, when my last year with Rod in Carolina, we had our player exit meetings one day after we were done. And I showed up to the rink for my meeting. It was probably one of the few times I did show up for it. And everyone was kind of hungover, and he was in there cracking iron. And we were like, Roddy, take a break, man. Take a break.
Jeff, I obviously wasn't here when you were here. But there's a lot of stories about you, by the way, around our locker room that I've enjoyed. Most of them I can't share on this radio show.
Nah,
but
text them to me, Don. You don't need to talk about it on this program.
Can we get him a video montage, though, Don? I don't know if you're aware of this, but we need a video montage for the O Dog in Carolina.
Donnie, it broke my heart. I know you weren't there. I came back, and I'm telling you, guys play four games for an organization, and they get a video tribute. I was there for a long time. And I was practicing my wave to the fans, like getting fired up for my video tribute. And for whatever reason, it never happened. And I still, to this day, it chaps my ass. So that's another part of the story about Carolina. But it's all good now.
Sorry to hear all that. We'll make it up to you at some point. I'll make
all
sure
right.
of that.
There you go. Don, I wanted to ask you about your goaltenders. You've got three goaltenders that have over 10 wins. I mean, is that a luxury? Is that something you planned, or it just kind of unfolded based on injuries and availability to you?
Yeah. You know, we went in New York, Anderson and Ranta, and we knew we had Kochkov in Chicago, and, you know, he got called on to play some games, and he's played very well for us. So I think it's a luxury right now. But, you know, hey, let's be honest. You know, our goalies have some history of some injuries. So there's a very good chance we might need all three if we're going to take a long run at this. So having three capable guys, I think, is a good thing at this time of the year.
With Don Waddell, GM of the Carolina Hurricanes, Leafs in Carolina tomorrow night. You guys got hit with some really harsh news last week when Svechnikov went down, tore his ACL, done for the year. Absolute stud for you. And, you know, Rod's been moving lines around, my understanding, trying to find mixes. But, you know, what's the message to the group when a guy like that goes down and understanding you're going to the playoffs, you still have high expectations? How do you recover from something like that?
Yeah, well, as we all know in hockey, you know, one player doesn't make the team. You need a team to be as good as they can. And, yes, we'll miss Andre, of course. We don't score easily as we'd like to. You got to look at other guys. And, you know, we do lead the league in offensive goals from our defensemen. That's got to continue. But, you know, like last night, you know, we played a heck of a game against the Rangers and we lost 2-1. We're not going to win games 5-4. We haven't done that all year long. We're going to win a lot of one-goal games. And, you know, we got to keep our top four defensemen, and I can say our top six right now, but, you know, we always talk about top four. I think it's pretty damn good. And, you know, I think last time we gave up 15 shots. I think the Rangers had one 5-on-5 shot the last two periods. Other than their power play shots. So, you know, we don't give up a lot of opportunities, and we're going to have to try to win those games 2-1, 3-2, because we know we're not going to score a lot of goals.
Well, the Eastern Conference is loaded, man. I mean, not that we're telling you anything you don't know, Don. You run one of those teams that are loaded with the Bruins, the Leafs, the Lightning, yourselves, the New York teams. The advantage of finishing with that top seed at home ice and potentially playing a wild card team, like how big of the motivation down the stretch is home ice and securing that top seed?
Well, you, this is what you play for all year. You want to win your division. You want to be, you know, in this case, if we were able to finish first, have home ice through the conference till the conference finals. Obviously, if Boston makes it, they're going to have it. But, you know, as anybody that's played this game, and Jeff would know this very well, it's every game, every playoff series is hard. There's no easy playoff series. So we know whoever, if we end up 1, 2, or 3, you know, whoever we play in that first round, there's no easy outs. You know, we got to be prepared to bring our best, and if we do, we have a chance to advance. But, you know, you play all year. We've been sitting in this one seed in the Metropolitan Division, and hopefully we can continue to take care of business and end up in that same spot.
Donnie, do the Leafs still travel well down to Carolina? How has that been down there? I know playing there, the Rangers always, the Pittsburgh Penguins, kind of the Northeast teams. Is that like a welcoming site? You guys don't like it? Is it people in the building? What's the take on it?
No, you know, I like hockey fans. You know, certainly I want to fill the building with our fans. But, you know, we had a lot of Ranger fans last night. We actually had a meeting today about it. It's Boston first, and then Pittsburgh Rangers, and then the Leafs after that. It used to be Buffalo, probably Jeff, in your day, because of some of the playoff series you had with them. But the, you know, to me, hockey fans, you know, we're still trying to grow the sport, not only in Carolina, but, you know, in North Carolina. So, you know, yes, we'd like to have 18,000 people, all Hurricanes fans, but it's okay to have some visitors there. And, you know, our attendance has been great. We've been selling out every game, and, you know, that contributes to having some visiting fans in the building.
He is Don Wandell, the GM of the Carolina Hurricanes. The Leafs are in town tomorrow night playing the Canes. It should be a fun one. Good luck tomorrow and down the stretch and into the playoffs. Thank you for doing this.
Always a pleasure being with you guys. Thank you very much.
You got it, Don Wandell, GM of the Canes. Well, we made our pitch, so that's all we can do. Get that montage cooking, and if we get down there, let's see what happens.
That would be nice if all of a sudden he like mentions in the PR, like, hey, let's do something.
He
see if the overdrive guy. Yeah, right. The overdrive. We would go down there. Would you go down there for a game for a video montage? I'd make the trip.
Absolutely. If there was a guaranteed montage, yes.
We could set up shop at a sports bar, do a show on the road, tee it possibly. Hmm. There are all kinds of Carolina options.
Okay. I'm down there actually April 4th. It's a Tuesday. Ottawa at Carolina.
Interesting. I mean, 7 o'clock game time, 9 a.m. tee time.
Although I will say, yeah, that now I don't know if that's a panel night because Columbus is at the Leafs that Tuesday. So I don't know.
It is. That barn burner is a panel game.
Yeah, that's disappointing. That is very disappointing to hear that.
Because maybe I could stand up for you. But, I mean, that would have been pretty cool if I, you know, call in a game, the three of us, we do our show that afternoon or do something, and then you get the video montage.
That darn Columbus game.
That is I hate to hear that because my mind was racing. We get Willie in studio. Willie may be on the course. You know, there's a lot of different things we could possibly do.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know,
by the
way,
none of it would ever happen. Because...
Probably never happen anyway. Yeah, probably wouldn't. But we could imagine that
we
it could
dream.
Happen. We could dream about it happening. Can you imagine if they lured us down there and then we waited all the way till the end of the game and they never played us? We just sat there the whole game.
Dude, I already lived that once.
They would show
like
a highlight.
6 minutes left, I'm like, man, I hope there's a TV timeout coming.
What if they trolled us, though? Like, what if they just trolled us and showed a highlight of Eric Cole scoring on me or something? Like, something ridiculous.
Right.
Like,
right.
They show us in the stands and they, like, zoom in on the Hayes and Barry.
We want to welcome Jamie McLennan back to Carolina.
What? Donnie doesn't even remember I played in the league. He's like, Jeff, you'll know this.
Right, welcome to my world, Noodles. Yeah. Now you know how dark it is and lonely it can be.
It's all good.
It is a dark place, man. When you get cut out of the you would know this routine.
Yeah.
Man, well, I don't know if we have that, but we got to play it.
I think he would know. Maybe when he was, I thought he was talking about like playoff runs and stuff.
I think he was talking specifically about Carolina, I'm sure, but we can play it. Listen,
can we have it?
It always gets played the other way when I'm the only guy cut out. So
bring it up.
Here's Don Waddell allowing Noodles to live my life for at least 5 seconds.
Anybody that's played this game, and Jeff would know this very well, it's every game, every playoff series is hard. There's no easy playoff series.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what, this might be both of your shows because we've got Donnie Waddell that just mentions Jeff. You know that the Hazy B, because Dwayne Casey's in town, that's going to come up tonight.
So that is lurking.
Voice of what? Voice of basketball in Toronto.
Does Dwayne Casey ever text you, Hayes?
We've had back and forths, you know, in the past. Not like, hey, I'm in town, let's get together for dinner or anything.
So you haven't talked, you just, what you're saying, like explaining what you just said is you haven't talked to him in 5 years.
It's been quite some time. Yeah.
That's all you had to say. You tried to drag it on like you were the last cut in Junior B type of thing. It was like, you haven't talked to him in five years.
It's been a while. I could probably look it up and find the chain. If you want, I could go back, and I'm sure I could find, you know, I may have deleted it, but there's a possibility I could tell you the last time I was texting with him, but it's been a while. And I'm not sure if I sent a text to him now, unprovoked, there's a very good chance new phone who dis is the response.
You represent the NBA as far as the sports media is concerned there in Toronto.
I represent the NBA. Like, that's what makes it even better. I'm the representative of all NBA takes in Toronto. Not Jack Armstrong, not Leo, not Kate, not Kayla. Nobody else but me. Not Lewenberg, not Devlin.
That's a good point, Brian.
It's all good.
Nobody else but me.
It is probably one of the greatest sound bites that we do have on this show.
Yes.
As far as, like, definitive.
It's like an all-timer. Yeah,
I just find it weird how he always referred to you as B. Like someone that gets Brian Hayes into Hazy B into just straight B, there's a tightness involved with that version of the nickname that signals like hangouts, coffee, side chats, texting. And there was none of that. There was none of that. That was just his name for you.
I guarantee you at some point, he probably had the radio or TV on in the background, and he heard Hayes yelling and screaming, giving him love. And he was like, that's my guy.
And maybe where it fell off, Noodles, is he had the same situation, but B was giving him the gears.
Well, that's been
Detroit
the last five
sucks.
Years. You started the show with, it's like, this is a must-win. It should be
it's
a win.
Mandatory
they're
win.
The worst team in the league,
it's
or whatever you said.
Above must-win. It's mandatory win. And they are. They've got 16 wins. Like, I'm not making that up. They're definitive. They've got a ton of injuries.
Explain this to me. And I might sound like a dumbass saying this because there might be an injury. But how come I never see a highlight of the number one overall pick, Cade Cunningham?
He's been hurt. Yes, Cunningham has been hurt.
For what? 2 years?
Yeah, he's been out. Like, he blew his knee out? We just got the email about he's been out basically all year. And, yeah, I got to find out exactly what's up with him. He had a lower leg issue. Yeah, and he's been out for the season.
So that happened game one, and he's been out.
He's been out. Basically all year. Yeah. And even with him, it wasn't going to change anything. They would have a few more wins, but they're still, you know,
that's an organization you wonder, like, how much longer can that go on?
They are 6.5 games behind Charlotte, who's 14th in the East.
Wow.
6.5 back of the second worst team in the East. Like, they're all in on. But the thing is, if they get this kid Wembanyama and then Cade Cunningham is healthy, which he will,
then you're in business.
You're in business,
and you got something. Exactly.
You're absolutely in business,
and that's what it would take to change that organization around.
Yes,
it's like any organization that's garbage forever. You look at their jersey, and their jersey looks like a clown show. And then when they get that star player, the jersey starts looking cool again, and that's how it all flips.
Changes everything.
changes everything.
Yeah, they got that new building, Little Caesars, and the Pistons and the Red Wings have been terrible. Like, they no playoff games, nothing. Mike Johnson in about 15 minutes on the Leaf win last night, the Leafs weekend coming up. The Flames lose again last night. You got the Oilers in action. Lots going on. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.
Watching the guys on tour, I get it. They hit it long. But even yesterday, I was like, oh, my God. When Rory, who there was questions about his driver, pulled out his Stealth 2 and launched it 378 yards in the air and hit it to 2 feet on a par 4.
That was absurd.
Outrageous, man. I've been watching that match play for a long time, and you see people dribble it down the hill around the bunker or whatever. The guy flew it on the green.
He flew the green. The announcers could not believe it. And this may be the biggest flex in golf history. To replace the ball divot on a par 4 is
a flex.
It's a flex.
Obviously, guys, the elements come in, but was there no – like, was it, you know, not tailwind type of thing? Or was
he had some wind behind him.
I don't even care if it was a gale force wind downwind. That's outrageous.
That's a ridiculous shot. Like,
he hits
like
it longer
insane.
Than anyone on tour, though, man. And that guy, they said it too. The announcers were like, man, he was sending that one. And you're right. That was the TaylorMade Stealth 2. And he crushed that. Shout out to Golf Talk Canada, too, right? GolfTalkCanada.com/20weeks of TaylorMade. We just heard the spot. Like, they're unbelievable giveaways. The Golf Talk Canada guys and TaylorMade, they got you set up big time. So check that out. Hour two coming up. Mike Johnson will join us. Dear Hazy B still to come. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.